Telephone number 786-456-4837. Let's bang through these calls as quickly as we can because we've got a lot of people who want to talk to Ron McGill as always. Christopher, you're on with Ron McGill. Go ahead.
Yes, Ron. So it's kind of a sad subject here, though, but earlier this year, my mom's Shih Tzu, the night before we put it down, it let out a massive yelp, and it was like weird, like almost like seized up. So I thought that was kind of strange, and I remember my sugar glider, my flying squirrel, doing something very similar about 2 years ago. The night before I found it dead, it just let out a big yeah. And is that something that like a sign like an animal's living too long, or is there something? Is that just natural? Is that nature?
You know, it's hard to say. It really is, but there is confirmation even in people sometimes. Before passing, very similar, very close to before passing, they will have a burst of emotion, a burst of energy that occurs, and then it's soon after that they pass, and that's something that I guess you see in animals also.
Parker, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Parker.
Is there an endangered species or an extinct species that if you had to eat, which one would it be?
If I had to eat?
Yes.
Is that what he asked?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
None. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to eat anything that's extinct or endangered. I mean, you know, unless I was dying and it was the only option.
Well, you are in this scenario. So who are you eating? What are you eating?
I would go with a gaur, which is the largest wild bovine. And I'd go for the ribeye portion of it. Good ribeye, yeah, on a gaur. It's a huge, large cow, a wild cow in India that's endangered, actually.
Ron, what if you had a lineup of animals that would go extinct if you ate them or you die of starvation? Would you put an animal out of extinction or make an animal extinct to survive yourself?
Yes. I know that sounds really selfish, but, you know, that's life, guys.
I mean, it's fine. Don't apologize for that. It's why you're on the top of the food chain, and survival's important. Like, that doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you hungry and desperate.
Usually that's usually your window to go, really, really? So you're going to have animals go extinct for you, you selfish? That's usually where you come in with that line, Dan. So I was just kind of preparing. I'm sorry.
America, I am sorry, America, that our zoo expert and animal expert is filled with such rage. I also want to apologize publicly on behalf of Ron McGill because he just said that he would take a species from endangered to extinct because he's hungry.
For.
He is
there
one of the most selfish people.
There you go.
He should be
plenty of humans, Ron.
He should be extinct himself because he is so selfish.
There you go, Dan.
Doug, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Doug.
Wow, Ron. Hey, Ron. Are wasps and hornets the biggest jerks in the animal kingdom?
You know, they do go into a frenzy, and unlike bees, they can sting repeatedly without dying. So, you know, I think people look at them as being pretty aggressive and not realizing what kind of, you know, positive contribution they make to the world, but they are important in controlling a lot of pests, so we have to keep that in mind. But yes, as far as wasps and hornets go, they are aggressive, they can sting repeatedly, and they will come at you with a furor that is unmatched by many other animals, so they're not my favorite animal.
I do this with very little confidence that his microphone is unmuted, but Greg Cody, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron, you guys at Zoo Miami just gave a fertility test to a large tiger. Tell us what's involved with that in terms of the number of people involved, the amount of sedation.
Well, you know, we got to have total sedation, of course, because we're going to be sticking an electronic probe up the rectum of that tiger to stimulate the prostate. It's very painful for me personally to watch. This tiger is, of course, in La La Land, but we do that. We have a team of probably 6 or 7 people around that tiger. We have somebody with a collection cup. We have the other person working the probe. We have another person working the electrical charge that goes into that probe that then causes this contraction and then causes the sperm to come out to be collected. And then it has to be examined under a microscope. Unfortunately for this poor guy, though he was not shooting blanks, they were highly diluted, very few and far in between, and therefore he was pronounced as being infertile. which was kind of a sad case because he's a very valuable bloodline. So now we're looking at hormone therapy to hopefully maybe do some testosterone therapy and see if we can build up the concentration of those little swimmers, because as I said, they were few and far in between. But it is part of research, part of science to help preserve the species.
All science, little swimmers, probe, everything that was said there was in the name of science. Aaron, you are on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Aaron.
Geez, I got to go after that answer.
Right.
Hey, Ron, sometimes an unruly child will be asked the question like, hey, who raised you, a pack of wolves? But I was wondering, under perfect conditions, if the smartest pack of wolves were traveling together and they stumbled upon an abandoned infant, could they all pull together to raise that kid?
They would eat it so fast.
yeah, that's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, basically. First of all, if the kid is still nursing, the dog cannot produce the milk that's going to sustain a human being. But more likely is that they'll probably eat the thing. The baby. I don't mean to call it a thing.
Jesus, Miguel. Miguel, honest to God, this segment today. What are you doing?
Dan, listen, everybody's under a lot of stress, Dan, okay? So I slip every now and then. But no, the wolves are not going to raise the little baby, okay? Forget any movie you saw. Neither are any apes or anything like that. It's not going to happen.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, how does music affect animals? Let's say that Kenny G has an alto sax and he's facing down a bear. If he starts playing his alto sax, would this bear, like, be happy, or would it maul Kenny G?
I don't know if the bear is going to be happy. It's been proven, on a very serious note, it's been proven that music does sedate animals in certain scenarios. So we have found animals that react positively to certain types of music, not necessarily music that maybe we like. It's all individual. But if a bear is coming to attack Kenny G and he starts playing his, there may be a hesitation, like, what the heck is that? And then soon afterwards, it would be over. Unless, of course, he put his hands up and said, hey, bear.
This is the darkest segment that we have ever done. For those of you who are...
When you start a segment with a guy asking, listen, my animal screamed right before it died, and then the day before I saw another animal scream right before it died, where do you want me to go from there, Dan?
Okay, well, I didn't expect you to go straight from there to eating endangered animals into extinction, killing a baby... Killing a baby with wolves and then killing Kenny G. I think that all of that is excessive.
I wasn't killing the baby. The wolves were probably going to kill the baby. Listen, I'm just giving you facts. I don't want to give you some Disney World fairy tale here, okay? I'm giving you facts. And yeah, Kenny G playing the whatever he plays is not going to stop the bear if the bear... They may hesitate because what does that sound? But that would be a very small hesitation and then it would continue on with the mauling.
Did you really just come on Disney Air and disparage Disney fairy tales? Is that something that just happened?
Dan, please just call me next week.
I blame Billy. Right. Impossible spot, Billy.
Billy started all this. All right, fine. Hang up your landline angrily and get out of here. We're all under a lot of stress. Thank you, Ron McGill. Unbelievable. Referred to a child as a thing, but certainly got all the terminology right during the insemination of the tiger, didn't he? Yeah.
Baron Davis in 15 minutes. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Greg Cody, Given the Straight Talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
The latest South Beach session, I believe, is out, right, Tony, with Bomani Jones. I think you will hear a side of Bomani that you have not heard. He is an uber-confident individual, but there was a time in his life, early in his career at ESPN, where that confidence was shaken, and obviously he is very good on the subject of everything that's going on in America right now. So check out that South Beach session. I'm a little worried. Are you worried, Billy? Are you worried, Chris? Baron Davis is in 10 minutes, and he has been doing performance art around here in terms of wrecking our show, wrecking the construct of the interview. We keep having him back because he creates these discomforts. He has not, in 90 minutes of asking him questions, as far as I can tell, given us a morsel of information that is useful in terms of basketball or his career. Do I have that wrong? What is your state of being right now as we head into another train wreck of a conversation with Baron Davis, Billy?
Well, Dan, today we have an added twist. He's going to be joining us via Zoom. So we're going to be seeing him while this is going on. So who knows what this will entail? Maybe his puppets will join him.
Okay, this is exciting. We will see what that entails, if it's any less awkward because Baron Davis has to stare in our face while creating the awkwardness. But we should make plenty of room for that and make this yet another short segment. I do want to explain something to the audience here, because I know that our audience and the loyalty is crazy and breathtaking, and is something that we are enormously grateful for, because there are a lot of people who root against this show. And what you may have noticed, and I can't complain about it too much because we're in the middle of a pandemic, but you may have noticed that there are previews and sponsors and promos for the network that are sort of tightening up the amount of space that we have around here to do our show during a pandemic. So what I'm excited about is that on August 17th, when technically, and some people are really reveling in this, saying that our radio show is losing an hour without realizing what's happening with the podcast medium and with what we intend around here, our fans are going to get a lot more of us than they get right now. Not less. You're not going to lose an hour. We're going to do a local hour that Stu Gatz and I are going to be a part of, a digital hour that Stu Gatz and I are going to be a part of, an after show that Stu Gatz and I are going to be a part of. So you're going to get more show than you've ever gotten before, even though only two of the hours are going to be terrestrial.
It seems like I'm working a lot more. Originally, I was excited to be working less and earning the same. And now it seems like you, Dan, have me working like, you know, 6-hour shifts. But I'm willing to do it because the audience has been so great to us, and they want more, and they're going to get more, and it's going to be unique, and it's going to be fun. And yes, I won't feel like a NASCAR while I'm doing it.
Yes, we will have more room to work, more freedom, and you're just going to get more show. For those of you who care about such things, I am always surprised by the number of people who root against this show and sort of revel in what looks like us taking a public L during a pandemic, because we're trying to shift from radio to a podcast, while understanding that radio is still the moneymaker, because radio has been afflicted by the same thing that afflicted newspapers, that's afflicting television, that's afflicting movies. When you start giving everything away on the internet for free without commercials, you're going to have a hard time getting people to listen when you want them to, as opposed to when they want to. Like, Netflix and the on-demand stuff has totally changed the way that radio is being done around this country. So you've made us a monster podcast, and we will be a bigger podcast when August 17th rolls around and there's more room to fool around on Zoom with all of our friends and with Baron Davis, who's going to join us next. Stu Gatz, are you going to handle this? Cody, how would you describe what happened Friday with Baron Davis?
It was surreal. I mean, you used the phrase performance art, and it really was. He just goes off on wonderful tangents, having very little interest in actually answering questions. It was refreshing to hear and unusual to hear. I loved it.
What's your level of confidence here, Stu Gatz? Because I feel in order to get anything out of him, you're going to do it. Because he's got me flustered. I can't do anything with him.
I think if collectively, there's a certain way that Baron would like to be treated, would like to be introduced, would like to be interviewed, and you are certainly not addressing his needs. But I think collectively, me and the shipping container can address those needs, ask the same questions that you've been asking him since he started joining us, get actual real answers, and then I love the idea of pitching him movie projects, because this guy is in the market for projects, you know?
I mean, it'll probably be overwhelming at first when he joins the Zoom and sees there's 15 people on here and he'll be confused as to who he's talking to. But like, on a scale of A through K, I think we're looking at an eye. This will work.
Okay, very good. Way to say that about as inefficiently as possible. Baron Davis joins us next.
Expecting to have Baron Davis here in just a minute on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Been great with us the last couple of days. Here's your SportsCenter update. And by great, he's fouled up the show in a good way, in the most awesome way. The deadline for NFL players to opt out of the 2020 season will be Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. The Big 12 presidents and chancellors approved a scheduling model for the upcoming college football season that will include 9 conference games and 1 non-conference game. And finally, the world's first speeding ticket was issued to an England motorist on January 28th, 1896. He was fined for speeding at 8 miles per hour in a 2 mile per hour zone. Greg, you should pay that ticket. SportsCenter brought to you by SportsCenter brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't sting. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backaches, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So, Stugatz, how do you want to handle this? We need Baron Davis to unmute his microphone and to turn on his camera. But who do you want to handle the buttering up, you or me? Because he didn't like the way we started this yesterday. So do you want to handle you're excessively chummy. Do you want to handle this or do you want me to handle it?
I think me and the guys should probably handle this. I think until further notice, you should probably just stay away. I think you're the problem. That's kind of where.
All right. Well, go ahead and handle this with Baron. I don't know if his microphone works. I do know that right now we don't have him on camera, but let's see where this ends up. Please go ahead.
All right. Well, Baron, how was, because we never asked, so, and we haven't spoken to you since. How was your afternoon? Let's start here. How was your afternoon yesterday?
All right, the microphone is not working. We'll get Baron Davis in a moment, but a good start so far. We will figure out. Yeah. This is what happens around here with us. We tend to beat a dead horse. So if it wasn't, funny and careening enough on Friday, we added the bonus on Monday of a bad phone line. Now we're throwing in technical difficulties as well. He's gone from the chat now. He's totally gone. We do still have Larry Fink, though. Larry Fink, his publicist, is still there. Larry Fink, can you unmute your microphone? Your camera doesn't work either, Larry Fink, worldwide leader in sports.
Larry, how was your afternoon yesterday? Maybe we should start there. Is Larry Fink with us?
I don't know if Larry Fink is with us. Larry Fink, does you... How has this gotten worse? You explain to me. Do you realize how low we have put the bar on all of this? We have put the bar through the ocean floor, and yet we can't jump over it. Wait, Larry Fink is there. Larry Fink is there, but he doesn't have a microphone that's working, and I don't know why I would want to talk to Larry Fink.
Because he's there.
Well, well, this isn't going as it should be going. It's probably going as Baron would have it go anyway. So even though he's not here, he's really here in spirit with the way this segment's playing
fair
out.
Fair enough. Okay. We will see if we can get Baron Davis and Larry Fink back on the phone. But I do know that, Greg Cody, this allows us to actually talk some sports, Stugatz, because there is a new study. I believe this is a Drexel professor, and the study is how the NCAA's empire robs predominantly black athletes of billions of dollars in generational wealth. And Greg Cody has been very loudly, hey, the scholarship is enough. They shouldn't be paid. The athletes shouldn't be paid. But the way they break down the funds on this, Stugatz, is basically a whole lot of money is going to coaches and administrators and, you know, a high percentage of older white people, while athletes with their scholarships, even at Duke and Alabama, are basically getting 1/6 of what they should be getting for their labor. The study shows that these guys should get about $1 million for 4 years, given what basketball and football make before they have to share it, the predominantly black sports, before they have to share it with the rest of the athletic department, and specifically the commissioners and the coaches and the people who are up high. So does any of this change your opinion, Greg, on the scholarship is enough?
I'm in favor of limited stipends for players in sports that generate revenue, particularly men's basketball and football. But I've never seen a credible breakdown of how that would work. You know, the star quarterback deserves to be paid in a way that the backup punter doesn't. And so somebody give me a plan to weigh. You know what I'm saying?
Is Baron Davis now there, as Greg Cody has given you his dusty, musty opinion on college sports? Does Baron Davis have a working microphone now? Oh, for the love of God.
He has to unmute his own. There we go.
He's, all right.
Hey, guys. Hey, Baron, what's up, man?
Go ahead, Stu Gods. Have at it.
Baron, hey, what's up, man? We haven't spoken to you, obviously, since yesterday, and I think Dan's been going about this all wrong because he doesn't ask basic, courteous questions. How was your afternoon yesterday? How'd it go? What'd you do?
Man, it was excellent. You know, I want to say something, though. What's up, fat face?
Hold on a second. Hey, wait a minute, Baron. Look, look, you came in nice, Stugatz, and look at what I get. Baron, for an NBA player.
That's what it says on the video.
Baron, for an NBA player, you are also guilty of fat face.
What?
I mean, they always said that. They call me like the baby Shaq of guards. I was just bigger than everybody.
Baron, I love your face, and I loved your crossover and the shimmy, and I'm wondering, and you're underrated. People don't give you enough credit for just how great of a basketball player you were. By the way, did you have a good morning this morning? Anything exciting? What happened there?
Nothing exciting, man. I haven't got my coffee yet. No. Just kind of waking up, give me a little stretch, a little, you know, my little 7 minutes of yoga. I'm starting a new workout. It's called 7 minutes of yoga, 7 minutes of Pilates, 7 minutes of getting to it, you know, and it's a 21-minute workout with me. You know, I don't IGTV and all that because basically all that is free. You know what I mean? It's free. So, you know, I've been charging people, and, you know, we had about 1,300 people in our workout this morning. So, you know, I'm not working out alone. All paying customers $100 a workout. And we're giving scholarships to you and to people like you, Fat Face. We're going to give you a scholarship so you can come on in and get that face right.
What are you doing this by video? I don't know what's true and what's not true. A conversation series that you hosted in June to create change, is that a true thing or is that not something?
Oh yeah, no, that's legit. You know, our town halls, I created Business Inside the Game to give athletes and people in our culture opportunity to talk about their wins in business. For so long, you know, the media always talk about, you know, guys going broke or, you know, and created this fear. So I was like, let's go find the guys who are actually doing well. And we started to create these workshops and town halls and conversations around how do we better, you know, ourselves as athletes? How do athletes and investors connect? You know, we start talking about social justice. We talked about, you know, equality as far as economics, right, for blacks and browns. And so that's why I created it, to really start a narrative and start a change of discussion, right, that'll start to push our people, you know, closer to the forefront.
Chris, go ahead.
Baron, I have a few creative ideas I want to pitch to you. I imagine being an entrepreneur like you are, a businessman, you get pitched ideas. But before I pitch my ideas, what's the worst business opportunity you've ever been pitched?
Are you new?
I'm a little new. Yeah.
You haven't heard from Chris? Okay. Yes, that's Chris Cody, son of Greg Cody, a gratuitous nepotism hire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we ain't doing the privilege thing right now. You know, we gotta ask somebody else to ask a question.
Roy, wow. Roy, you want to have at it? Go ahead, Roy. Wow.
What was the worst pitch you have ever received?
Who is this kid, man, asking me questions like that? Me in this Zoom. Yeah. You know, before I was on the radio, I couldn't see you. Now I can see this kid. This kid ain't got no facial hair, man. Oh, yeah, you do. It's red. He got a red beard.
All right, hold on. We're going to come back with Baron Davis, who does not take questions from privilege. Roy, will you answer it from Roy?
Yeah. Me and Roy, we got to have a conversation, Roy. I got to find out how they treating you over there, Roy.
I'm still getting paid, Baron.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wait a minute. We can't have you guys unionizing around here. Hold on a second. Let's go to commercial and regroup.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by 303 Protectant. 303 Protectants and Cleaners keep your car looking new longer.
The show somehow continues to descend into the sewage. Baron Davis lifts us up and drags us down at the same time. He has refused to answer the question of Chris Cody. Roy, can you please ask Baron Davis the question to see if we can get a better response?
What's up, my brother? What is your worst investment pitch? Oh, everything's going on all right. What's the worst pitch you've ever received? For an investment?
The worst pitch I ever received for an investment was, dare I say, some erotic soap made out of the mold of porn stars. Not a porn star, but like a, I guess, a not really good porn star. And it was a soap company. And it was erotic soaps. Yeah, that's it, bro.
Tony,
that was the weirdest one.
Tony, that's a good answer. Tony, do you have a question for Baron Davis?
I do, Baron. Thanks for having me on the show. Do you like pineapple on pizza, Baron?
I didn't invite you.
Oh, wow. Okay, he doesn't want to talk to Tony.
What's up, my brother? Do you like pineapples on pizza?
What's up, bro?
Roy, your timing's exceptional. It's exceptional.
My apologies. Do you like pineapple on pizza, Baron?
Pineapples and sometimes pineapples and pepperoni, Roy.
Oh, that's delicious.
I think. Yeah, you know. It got to be a late night, though. It got to be a late movie night. But pineapples and pepperoni, that's my jam. Bill, that's a good question, Roy.
Thank you.
Billy, do you have anything? Do you have anything for Baron Davis, Billy?
Hey, Baron. So we were talking earlier about with our animal expert, if he would eat an animal and make it extinct if it would ensure him staying alive. Would you eat an animal into extinction if it guaranteed your survival?
Man, I don't even... That was one too many words. I can't even digest that, what you just said. I don't know if that was a question or a statement. Y'all good at that.
Roy, can you please re-ask the question?
What's happening, brother? Would you eat an animal?
Roy, how do you get that wrong three times in a row, Roy?
I have to fill in the pauses. I got to fill in the silence. There was 2 seconds of silence.
How
there.
Was that possible? Go ahead and ask the question.
Would you eat an animal into extinction?
For the love of God, Roy.
To make sure that you survive.
Hey, Roy, say it our way. Hey, Roy, say it our way, man. Say it with your chest, Roy.
Would you eat an animal into extinction?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I would definitely do that.
Greg Cody, do you have a question for Baron Davis as the old-timey Miami Herald columnist?
Hey, Baron, what do you think of The Rock buying into the XFL, huh?
That was a question I asked on Twitter like two days ago.
Yeah, but you didn't answer it.
Yeah, but if you look at my timeline, you'll see, like, there's a bunch of answers.
Was that my brother?
Is that Roy?
Yeah, that's me,
Roy,
man.
What's up, dog?
Hey, man, I'm hanging in there, man. What do you think of The Rock buying the XFL?
Hey, man, I thought, you know what? It's interesting, right? Because The Rock is a big star. He loves football. I think it's cool because, you know, look at him, man. He didn't make it in football, but now he on a football league. So just want to shout out to The Rock for just being an inspiration to everybody. And, you know, I think that the XFL got, you know, it got a chance now that it got a face. I wouldn't mind, you know, owning me an XFL franchise. If I can get in contact with The Rock.
That's hard to do.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I even tried to audition at one of his movies. Not really to be in the movie, but just to meet him. And that never happened.
Baron, what's the worst part about getting a haircut?
Huh? What's up, my brother?
Roy, I hear you, bro. Hey, what's
happening? Hi, man. Hanging in there. What's the worst part of getting a haircut?
The worst part of getting a haircut, I would say, is when your phone is ringing and it's an important phone call and you got to put it on speaker so everybody in the barbershop can hear your conversation while you're getting a haircut. I would say that's the worst part. You know, I have my barber, me and my barber go all the way back. Shout out to Chuck Taylor. Every time I get out of line, he smacked me in the back of my head with some of that alcohol to make me straighten up.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, do you have another question for Baron Davis to close us out?
Baron, you can't...
This was the Don Levitar Show on ESPN Radio.
We live in a racist country.
We never got to Stugatz's Jim Cantore rant. He was ranting before the show. I kept promising it all show. We never got to Billy concluding that Jeter press conference either. So here's some bonus show for you. Stugatz, what happened with Jim Cantore? Because I promised it all show and I never got to it.
Right, with Cantore, I don't know if you've been watching the hurricane coverage. I still can't pronounce the name of this hurricane. I mean, we have to come up with a nickname. Dan, can you pronounce the name of the hurricane? Is it Isaiah? Is it Zeke?
It is not Isaiah. It is not Zeke. And I haven't been actually listening to telecasts that would give me the correct pronunciation of the name. But here is Greg Cody, the wheelhouse of Greg Cody, to name the hurricane that was barely a hurricane as it swept past South Florida and those weather terrorists badgered us and made us all run to Home Depot.
Isaias.
Oh, wow. Isaias.
No, okay. Evidently it's not right. Tony, what is it? That is so great. Great is that right there? He was eager to get in as if he knew. That is not the pronunciation, Tony.
No, it's Isaias.
You know what it is, now that you mention it?
Oh, God. Because
I looked that up. I Googled the word pronounce and that word, and all it right. did say it the way you did.
All right.
So I knew that. I just didn't convey it.
Just hold on a second. You today, even by the standards of just giant dipshittery, today you have just erected a mountain to dipshittery. Chris, like, what? You had so many good weeks. You had like a good month of shows, Greg. And today, what was the thing that bothered you the most today, Chris? What's the thing that caused you the greatest shame? I'm sorry. We'll get back to Jim Cantore in a second. Okay. I just can't believe how bad Greg is at this. Most shame today, Chris.
Him completely botching one of the hard networks out. That always infuriates me. I want to drive over. Can you guys keep this going for like 15 minutes? I'll drive over to his house right now and just start strangling him on this Zoom because he has frustrated me so much today. It's crazy.
Let's go ahead and end the segment that way, Chris. You've offered to do it. Go ahead. Drive to his house. I want this segment to end with the sound of your father choking. Go ahead and go over there.
My lunch just got here.
Wear a mask. Make sure to wear a mask. But go ahead, Stugatz, with what you were saying about Jim Cantore.
Oh, Jim Cantore, he likes to make it all about Jim Cantore. It becomes not the Weather Channel, but the Jim Cantore Channel. And it is frustrating and it's annoying. Hey, Cantore, we get it. You're in a hurricane and you cover hurricanes and the weather for a living. But it is absurd, the notion that Jim Cantore feels the need to show us that he's in the middle of 130-mile-per-hour winds, not for 5 minutes, not for 10 minutes, not for 25 minutes, for 2.5 hours, when I know good and well, because the cameras have shown me already, there is a little hut that is 2 feet away from him that he could get some cover, that he could dry off, but not Jim Cantore. Jim Cantore needs to show you that he will brave the elements, that he will stay out there in that hurricane, and that he will report all the news from the hurricane as if we need it from the hurricane. Once you establish you're in a hurricane, and he did because he was getting blown all over the place, and I'm telling you right now, blown by the hurricane.
Amazing.
And I am telling you right now that Jim Cantore, I feared for his life last night. I really did. Those winds were like 120, 130 mile per hour gust in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I don't need Cantore out there for 2.5 hours, right? Trying to get complete sentences in when he can't because he's got 130 mile per hour winds in his face. Cantore, we get it. You're in a hurricane. Now run for cover, deliver the news, and describe the hurricane. Because what you did last night was just show yourself get in harm's way, okay? And I don't need it. It was look at me, not look at the hurricane. And Cantore, it was a terrible job. I couldn't make out a word you said. Terrible job. I mean, nothing. I learned nothing about the hurricane last night. Not even its name.
He is a look-at-me weatherman, Jim Cantore. He is among these weather terrorists that we have out there. I didn't think the winds got to 130 miles an hour. I thought, I don't know what you're saying there. I thought the reason that I wasn't paying that much attention to this hurricane is because that was a little baby hurricane for South Florida. And, you know, we don't overreact to tropical depressions and, you know, Category 1 stuff.
Well, for me, Dan, like, listen, for the way we experienced it, yes, it was a Tuesday afternoon. I played golf during the hurricane. But if you're a hurricane expert like me and Jim Cantore, then you know what happens is once this thing picks up steam and gets back over the water and through that jet stream, it starts to pack a punch. And by the time it hit the Carolina coast last night in Wilmington and Jim Cantore, winds were howling around 120, 130 miles per hour. And Jim Cantore at one point was lying flat on his face trying to tell me, describe the hurricane. And I can't hear someone when he's talking into a patch of grass with wind swirling around him. I just can't do it.
Is Stugatz lying here flat in our face like that? I didn't think this hurricane got to 130 miles an hour.
I don't think that that's right. Maybe you had like a gust or something, but I'm looking up the speeds now because like 120, 130 has to be like, yeah, it's between Category 3 and Category 4. 130 is the low end of Category 4, which would make it a major hurricane. And I don't think this became a Category 4 with no one realizing it.
Explain this to me because I don't understand what happened, but in the continued quest of the Codys to destroy every funny thing around this show, Chris Cody was leaving the Zoom chat, and I thought we were going to get the punchline here that ended with Greg Cody being choked, but then seconds later, Chris Cody is back in the Zoom chat. I felt like perhaps reprimanded by your wife because you were thinking of leaving. There was a degree of shame involved with your slinking back into that chair.
There's many things going on right here. Risk reward. We could do this bit. I could pretend like I'm there right now and we could act it out. If I go there, I would have to wear a mask. I don't really want to be in the same. My wife did say I have a meeting at 2. Your daughter's here. Like, it's just, Dan, it's not practical today. I'm sorry.
The highest the winds got to last night in Wilmington, North Carolina were 93 miles per hour.
Okay. So, can you guys help me here with everything that just happened with Baron Davis? Please help me with what happened with Baron Davis, because Chris and Billy have been the cringe police for a couple of days here with Baron Davis. Was this the most awkward of the three appearances? What we just did by far? Like, what's been the reaction? Because we are howling with laughter over here. Baron Davis, we're getting off the call with him. He's howling with laughter. Larry Fink is howling with laughter. But we have no idea. I have no idea as it's happening, as we descend into this sewage, how the audience is experiencing this. So can you guys help me? Because I thought that was the worst of the three appearances.
It happened. That whatever happened just happened. It seemed kind of, I mean, look, I don't know who to blame this on, so I guess I'll take the blame for it. It seemed kind of self-explanatory when we wanted him on Zoom that we wanted to see him too, not just a picture of Baron Davis, which made things a lot more confusing. Larry's camera worked. Larry showed us his face in the commercial. We were talking, and Larry and Dan became good friends. But Baron, we still haven't seen.
The funny thing about it, it's not just a picture of Baron Davis. It's a glamour shot.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's a nice thing.
I mean, it is sexy looking over the shoulder, sensual eyes, but it doesn't help us do a rating.
25 pounds ago.
It doesn't. Wow.
Wow. What happened?
Wow.
What happened there?
Wow. What? You have been buttering this guy up on air, off air, and the moment he leaves your sight, you accuse him of 25 pounds of weight gain.
Dan, that's so funny because you said that this appearance was probably the weakest of the three, which I agree with. And afterwards, Stu got Baron. It was fantastic, man. That was the best segment we've done in weeks, man. Thank you.
He's such a bullshit artist. It is flabbergasting to watch Stugatz. Did you see that, Greg? Did you see what Stugatz did in terms of just sucking up with a total lack of sincerity to Baron Davis and Larry Fink?
It was vintage. It was wonderful. But I have to tell you, in all honesty, I think Davis and Fink deserve, we deserve an apology because they disrespected my son. And as the father, I cringed at that.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
You're going to come back on tomorrow, Greg, to defend his honor?
You should come on tomorrow and accuse him. You should demand an apology. You want to do that tomorrow?
Yes. Absolutely.
But
are we trying to make it bad at this point? Or?
I mean, does it matter? Like, could we make it good if that's what we were trying to do? Like, do you think, listen to me, let me explain something to you. I came here today scared to do radio for about the first time in 5 years because Baron Davis makes things so awkward that I'm not totally sure it's going to go well, and I'm not totally sure how much I'm willing to descend into the total sewage of we are basically right now doing totally incompetent radio for hours at a time. And it's not just that we've got the traditional weekly incompetence of Greg Cody. Baron Davis and everything that's happening there, Stugatz, that is amateur below collegiate radio, what we're doing. Like, it is, if you're listening to that, I can't even imagine the person who's listening to our show for the first time and doesn't understand anything we do. How do you imagine that they're experiencing, why do these guys keep bringing Baron Davis back?
I imagine they're saying to themselves, this is my first and last time listening to this show.
You know what? What Baron Davis is doing to this show reminds me a little bit about what Andy Kaufman used to do on late night TV. You don't know where it's going. You don't know if he's totally serious. It's a mind blower.
It is. It is weird. It is fun. We're going to do it again tomorrow. Be uncomfortable. And we're just going to watch Baron Davis shit on our show.